If you have your Bible, we're going to read two passages of scripture really quickly. It's going to be Psalms 144 and 1. And then we're going to go to, we're going to go to 1 Samuel after that, 17. Into the pool. No toes in the pool this morning. Mike, when you go swimming, do you jump straight in? Or do you kind of ease in? Like, it depends, maybe. Check it first. Okay. I do too. Yeah, amen. I wonder if we could just jump straight in this morning.
Verse 6, 2:11.
And he had a bronze armor on his legs, not just the coat, but now he has some stuff on his legs too. He didn't skip leg day, y'all. And a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, or about 15 pounds. Just the spearhead. And the shield bearer went before him. He literally had somebody to carry his shield. He was like, all right, after this spear, I can't carry it no more. I need somebody to apply for this job. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you are the servants of Saul? How many of you know that the place that you're in right now, the enemy is so audacious that he's taunting you where you are? You really think you're going to overcome me? Anybody ever went through that before? You heard the taunts from the enemy in your mind, or maybe even from a person. He said, do you know I'm so much greater than you? He says, choose a man yourselves and let him come down to me. He's very braggadocious. Verse 9. Choose a man and have him come down to me. Verse 9 says, and if he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. Two more verses. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Last verse. Because of what has been done. Can I talk to somebody in here? That some of us may be wrestling with fear just based off what the devil said. He didn't even do nothing yet. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you open our hearts and our minds. Breathe on us today. Reveal Jesus to us, Spirit of grace. For all these things, we'll bless you in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. Woo! Bless you, Lord Jesus. All right, so can you bring this down just a little bit? Because I'm going to be screaming in a second. I feel it. thank you, Chuck. Beautiful, man. So I'm gonna try to get real. So I'm going to jump in and out. I'm going to go carnal, Matt. Then I'm going to jump back in holy mode. So I'm going to ask a question. Okay? So along the same lines. Question is this, how do you fight? No, like, how do you fight? Like, how do you really fight? It's a question. People scared to answer. With my fist, what is he talking about? What is he asking me right now? No, all the above, right? Just how do you fight, right? So I was thinking about this question, and I was thinking, just the many ways that all of us physically fight, verbally fight. If you've grown up and you've seen, like, the movies where, you know, the cool guy with the leather jacket, with the hair, to do something. He's so cool. He got the brass knuckles. You know? You got different kind of fighters, right? You got the guys that talk a lot. Usually, they're the last to throw a punch. And then you got the quiet ones who you got to watch. Ashley started laughing. I'm scared of you, Ashley. Ashley said, we're going to have prayer after this, Ashley. I promise you that. No, my wife over there laughing, too. She knows she'd be... Yeah, my wife will go for you. She will go.
She looks meek. So, no, I'm just asking, like, how do you fight, right? And so I was thinking about this, this question, and there are just so many different ways that we fight in the natural, right? I remember one of the ways that when we would get into scuffles, right? Like I said, I'm going to jump back in the holy mode in a second. Oh, just give me a second. In middle school, right, we act like we wanted to fight, but we were scared to fight. And so what we would do, we did this thing where we would go shoulder to shoulder, and we would walk in a circle, and it's like, well, swing then, swing, throw a punch. We would do that for like 15 minutes. Like nobody's, you're late for class, and you didn't even do anything. And it's one of the ways that we would fight. I'm not proud of any of the fighting, and I'm definitely not condoning, but it's just simple ways that we do. If you have been married for any amount of time, there's a way that you fight. Okay. We got different fighters in marriage. And if you really know your spouse, you can know when it's coming on, John Paul. You know when it's coming. Because when V get mad, y'all gonna tell on V today. She be like, I be like, it's just ways that you fight. And I love it how, so in marriage, any point in time, when you fight at first, you're demanding your way. They're demanding theirs. Usually you have somebody who does what I call throw a stone, right? And so, like, for example, somebody be like, well, I don't understand. And then the person would say, well, you would if you finished college. That didn't have anything to do with it. Why would you say that? Why would you go there? That didn't even have to. Some of the married people kind of like, he coming down my street. And then it's a little different if you had counseling. Because with counseling, you still be wanting to fight, but it just sounds better. It's like, what I feel from you. But do you hear what I'm saying? I feel attacked. Still fighting, but you just kind of say it differently. Let me make sure I'm hearing you correctly. Married people, can I just get an amen real quick? No eye contact, but just give me an amen. Just. The question is, how do you fight as a kingdom citizen? How do you fight as a kingdom citizen? Because if we're not careful, we think that we are to take our training from life experiences into kingdom. And when the enemy begins to attack, we think that we are to fight the way we've learned how to fight. That was hilarious. Come on. Mortal Kombat. Somebody said finish him. Okay. So that was funny. But I want y'all to catch this. I want y'all to catch this. Listen to this. Please hear me on this. I'm about to bring context to what you're going through. We are at the place. This is a message title. We're at the place of promotion, favor, and advancement. This is where we are as a people. We're at the place of promotion, favor, and advancement. And because you are at that place, there's a fight. It is because you're at that place that the enemy is attacking you with all he can. If you were not at that place, he would leave you alone. Oh, my God, I feel it. But because you're there, he'll use anything and anyone he can to distract you, to frustrate you, and to get you off course. Because he doesn't want you to advance. Notice something. Notice I didn't say we're at the season of promotion. We're at the place of promotion. Here's the difference. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 17, 1 and 3. We're going to read 1 through 3. Is this blessing anybody? Thank you, Lord. We're just going to read 1 through 3. Watch this. So you see that Israel and the Philistines are at a place of battle. If you know the story of David and Goliath, the long of it is, the short of it is, he wins and he gets promoted and all that kind of stuff. But there's so much in between there that we don't catch that we're going to talk about today. But this promotion didn't just come from a season, right? They're not in the season of battle. It literally says that they gathered together at Saka. That's a place which belongs to Judah. They encamped in Saka and Azekah and in Ephes Damim. These are literal places. Amen. Amen. It's different than saying, like, for example, the Christmas season, right? The Christmas season is like not relegated to a specific day. It's just a compilation of days. But when you're talking about a place, it's not many days, it's a day. And I'm trying to tell you that we are at the day of promotion, advancement, and favor. We've arrived to the day. So it's not going to happen one of these days. No, that day is today for you. Amen, somebody in here. Somebody say, that day is today. Oh, I want to help you. Bless you, Jesus. I want to bring context, and I want to encourage you not to give up when you've made it to this place. Am I talking to anybody who's been through anything? Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. That it's not time to give up, and the enemy will tell you that you haven't arrived to this place, but you are literally at the place where everything is about to change. Yes. Yes. Oh, come on. Yeah, we can praise right there. Yes. You're at the place where everything is about to change. Thank you, Lord. Mm-mm-mm. So let's do some reading. We're going to dig into 1 Samuel 17 a while. Is that okay? Let's read. Let's go to 17 and 18, verse 17 and 18. I want to introduce David to the story because, you know, Goliath just done went off on them and everybody's scared. And so they quiet. You know, when you get scared, you just be quiet, see what's going to happen. And so here's David. I love this story of David, and we're going to dig into just some of the things that he did, some of his attributes, and we can acquire some of those things if we're in a place to receive it. Amen? Amen. Mm-mm-mm. Verse 17 and 18. So David was, in regarding battle, this type of messenger. He was like a, like he delivered food. I be saying it all the time, Uber Eats and all that. Like, yeah, that was him. He delivered food and other things that they would need. It wasn't just limited to food. But he would deliver that, and for the last 40 days, he was doing that. And then we're just kind of interjecting in on one of these times. The Bible says, then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain, these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp. So David just had an assignment, a very simple assignment. They're fighting, you deliver the food. They're fighting, you deliver the food. And carry 10 cheeses. That might mess with somebody who lactose. Okay, so carry 10 cheeses. Well, come on. That's what I'm talking about. I would still be constipated. Okay, so carry 10 cheeses to the captain of their thousand and see how your brothers fare and bring back the news to them. Amen. Amen. And what I want to tell you first, listen to this. David was simply serving. We need to catch this. He was simply serving. And his serving turned into unexpected promotion. His serving, we need to catch this. His serving turned into unexpected promotion. We want the things of God. The question is, are you? Amen. He was just serving. He wasn't looking for it. It wasn't his connections or his networking. He was serving. Here's another point I want you to write down. His assignment turned into advancement. He wasn't looking for assignment, Barry. He wasn't looking for advancement. I'm sorry. He was knowing his assignment. Some of us are looking for advancement. We're trying to see how to come up. When we really need to just look for our assignment. What am I supposed to do in this season? Am I helping anybody in here? What am I supposed to do in this season? That's all I need to focus on, because if I can focus on what I'm called to do right now, my assignment will lead me to advancement. Amen, somebody. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory. And so I'm talking about the season that we're in, that David found himself in. Didn't ask to be in this season. How many of you are in a place where you didn't necessarily ask to be where you are, but you notice God pulling you deeper? Come on in here. I was just kind of loving Jesus, or maybe I was trying to run away from him, but for some reason I'm getting pulled deeper. Amen. Is anybody in that place? The season of promotion, favor, and advancement. Well, this is where David is. He's in this place. And so David goes and he's around, oh, we need to catch it. He's around the armies. He's just doing what he was called to do. He's given the food and all that. And so David just kind of been a little bit of a gangster, just a little bit, I'm going to tell you. And so he's delivering the food, but you know how you doing one thing and then you starting to kind of trip off something else. So he's giving the food, he's just like, here's your cheese, here's your bread. Who does this think he is? Here is it. And so David found himself in a place where he's listening to Goliath defy Israel, basically just curse them to his gods. And all of the sudden, oh, listen to me, all of the sudden, destiny starts shaking in him. Oh, my bashata da 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 shay. He found himself in a place where he was getting stirred all of the sudden. Had no idea that he was being prepared for this moment. He thought he was just doing one thing. Some of you just thought you were just coming to St. Louis just to come. Some of you thought you were coming to Expansion South City just to be here. All of the sudden, something starts shaking in you. Come on in here. Oh, bless you, Lord Jesus. When you get around that right place where God made you, you'll know it, because something will start stirring in you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. 1 Samuel 17 and 26. Here is one of the things that I want to tell you. We are in that place. Promotion, favor, and advancement. But I have to break this place down to you so it makes more sense. Here's one of the things that I want you to know. When you're in that place of promotion, that sounds great, and it is. Favor, that sounds great, and it is. Advancement sounds good. But it may mean that the closest people to you will misunderstand you. 1 Samuel 26, 28. I'm going to say it again. It may mean that the closest people will misunderstand you. See, we were cool when you weren't really trying to be about your business. But all of a sudden, you're trying to get yourself together, and people have an attitude with you. You're changing. You're different. Why are you acting, you know? And so, David didn't ask to be in this place. And I know you didn't ask to be where you are, but God has brought you here in kingdom, not just the church. I'm talking about in kingdom. God has decided to use you. He's decided to be good to you. You may not have even asked for it, but you're here. Amen. And so watch what happens with David. It says, then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David's just like, hey, who is this guy? 27, and the people answer him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. 28, here's the reward. It says, now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. Listen, his oldest brother. This is his blood. Amen. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And Eliab, his brother, says, why did you come down here? Have you ever been rejected from a place that you ain't even asked to be? Oh, I will tell y'all a story. He said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. Woo! His older brother's just going off on him, y'all. Says, for you have come down here to see the battle. Here is the thing. Actually, David came down there to just deliver cheese. Right? And his brother is attacking him, closest person to him, attacking him, saying some things to him, and I want to show you this, saying some things that just aren't true. But what stood out to me, guys, is this part where he says, I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. That word know is an intimate word, which means I'm familiar with. Ooh, this is, let me tell you. He said, you come down here to do this and you're trying to, but he said, I know your pride. I know your insolence. So what Eliab was doing was, Eliab was falsely accusing him of something. But when I was reading this and studying this, I said, man, that word know means I'm intimately acquainted with. And so I started thinking about this before I just dismissed Eliab. I said, man, he's just making up stuff. He's not true. But then I started to think about it. I said, later on in David's story, he struggles with pride and insolence. I said, wait a minute. So before I dismiss it, Eliab may be on to something. Let's talk about it. So upon studying this, what I realized is that when Eliab was accusing him falsely, and he said, I know your pride, I know your insolence. We see it all over the Word of God. One thing that we love about David is even though he's prideful and insolent in areas, he is always repentant. He always turns back. Is there anybody that knows you're not perfect and you will always turn back to God? Come on. We can stay right there for 5 minutes. Hallelujah. No matter what happens, I know how to turn myself back. I may have went off on you, but I'm going to send you a scripture tomorrow. Hallelujah. Come on. I may have said the wrong thing, but I know how to turn back to the wall and say, Lord, I confess my sin. Amen. And how many of you know he's faithful to forgive? Thank you, Jesus. But he says, I know your pride and I know the insolence of your heart. When I read this, what I determined was Eliab was quite possibly talking about a character flaw in David. Because we see it later on. Eliab may have seen it before this moment. And he's calling it out. And it's just like the enemy. When it's time for you to be promoted, when it's time for favor and advancement, it is just like the enemy to bring up old stuff. Because even if that's true about David, it's not true right now. Can you just tell somebody that the thing that was true about me, it's not true right now. Come on, yeah, it may have been true. You may have known that about me, but don't try to throw that in my face right now. Come on, somebody in here. I may have did it, but I'm not doing it now. Amen, somebody who's going to be real with me. Bless you, Jesus. Just tries to insult him and says, I know your pride and I know your insolent heart. You've come down here to settle a battle. He's falsely accused. And those things that he may have struggled with are thrown back in his face. Oh, my gosh. Come on, preach it to me. We bless you. People will try to bring up old stuff. 1 Corinthians 13:11. This is how you know you're in that season. And not only do people try to bring up old stuff, the enemy will try to bring up old stuff. Can I come down your street? It's when God starts blessing that the enemy starts tempting like no other. Amen. Trying to lay those same booby traps that got you last season. Hallelujah, somebody. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 13:11. I love what Paul said, and I just want to use it really quickly. And we know this passage, but sometimes we need to let the devil know this. Paul says it like this. He says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, Paul was talking about spiritual gifts as it related to love. But for some of us, it just represents immaturity. That when I was immature, yeah, I thought that way. I may have did some stuff that I'm not too proud of. Hallelujah. But as God matured me, I put away some of those things. Come on, somebody. Is God bringing you to a place where you just don't have a desire for the old things anymore? Can I talk to you real quick? I didn't have a deliverance service. God just changed my taste in my mouth. I just don't want it anymore. Come on in here. Hallelujah. When I matured in the spirit, I just put certain things away. Is there one person who you just put certain things away? Come on in here. Hallelujah. And so this is where David is. He's at this place where, that may have been true, Eliab, because you do know me. We did grow up together. But what may have been true then is definitely not true now. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Lord God. Let's just keep digging real quick. I just want to help us with where we're at. 1 Samuel 17, 25 and 27. In the season of promotion and favor and advancement, listen to this, you must learn to respond and not react. You have to learn to respond and not react. Enemy wants you to just go off. Imagine David just hearing about, so we know that David has been a fighter, but just imagine him hearing about Goliath and just running straight toward him. It's not what we see. David was inquiring about who this was. He said, who is this person? As a matter of fact, what happens if I fight him and I win? And they're telling him all these things. And he's getting all this information because he's deciding if it's a fight worthy of him or not. Some of us need to respond instead of react. And here's the reason why. Because some of the fights that we're in aren't even worth our time. Some of the contentions, some of the arguments, am I talking to anybody? Some of those things that we're going through, it wasn't even worth your time. See, when you respond and not react, what happens is you understand. I can inquire like David did. David said, what happens if I win this battle? And because he liked what he heard, he said, I'm going to go ahead and do this. Some of us are just fighting just to be fighting, y'all. Listen. 1 Samuel 17, 25, it says, so the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches. How many of you know that's worthy of a fight right there? Pay me, king. All right, we'll give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from all taxes in Israel. So this is what happens if he engages. Come on, that's it. Next verse. Then David spoke to the men, stood by him, saying, I love this part because they just said what would happen. And David said, okay, hold on. What shall be done? Say that again. It was a holy. Say that again. It says, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is the uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Next verse. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. And the people answered him and said in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. And so before David even fought, we love the story, but what he was doing was gathering information. Is this fight even worth my time? Some of the things that you run into, it's not even worth your time. We have to know how to just bow out of certain situations. Nope, I'm not going to engage in this. This isn't worth it. I'm not winning anything from this. Come on in here, somebody. We have to know. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He had to see if the fight was worth it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What David was quickly realizing, what I want you to catch today, is that the possibility of promotion will almost always come in the form of battle. The possibility of promotion will almost always come in the form of battle. David's promotion required Goliath. Our promotion may require our flesh. I may have to overcome my anger issue in this season. Oh, Jesus. We can't take it with us. I may have to overcome that lust thing that tries to creep up every now and again. Can we be real in here? I may have to overcome my addiction that I haven't really told anybody about, but I'm struggling with. See, David had to fight Goliath, but the question is, what are you having to battle in this season? The possibility of promotion is always going to come in the form of a battle. If God is taking you up, there's something he's wanting you to challenge. Oh, Jesus, there's something he's wanting you to challenge. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to verse 32. Bless you, Jesus. I love it. So here David is all of a sudden, and I just want us to know he came here to deliver cheese, and he's preparing for battle. That we didn't know, being in the season that we're in, that our assignment was going to change so abruptly. Amen. But again, we're here. And so David, who's full of destiny and full of anointing, knows how to respond in this situation. And so David is talking to Saul, knowing he's full of the Spirit of God, right? Knowing he's called to this purpose. It says, then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. The same one that everybody's afraid of, David is excited to fight. Is there anything in your life that you enjoy doing that other people would rather not? Amen? Amen. We're just talking about assignment and purpose. And I love it. Let's keep reading. What's the next verse here? It says, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistines to fight with him, for you are just a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. Another translation said, what you're talking about is ridiculous. Can I tell you, you are not in the season of promotion if you're not talking ridiculousness. I'm talking about that real Rob Dyrdek ridiculousness. If you're not talking crazy, you may not be in that season yet. The way you know you're in that season is you're saying things that make no sense. That you're literally saying the generational curse stops with me. Oh, come on in here. You're saying high blood pressure and heart disease and that stops with me in the name of Jesus. Now, it affected your whole family, but somehow it's just going to stop with you. That's ridiculous. How are you going to say that? No. Yeah. It stops with me. Come on, somebody. Everything that has attacked my family is going to stop with me in the name of Jesus. Come on. David was saying something that was absolutely ridiculous, and Saul let him know, that's pretty crazy what you're saying. He said, you're not qualified. And how many of us feel that way at times? Well, we're not qualified. Because what happens if, like I said, if you take your natural experiences into spiritual battle, you'll try to qualify yourself with natural things. That if I look at myself, maybe I'm not qualified, but God has anointed me. I have favor. Come on. I have the enabling of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I love it. Almost done, y'all. Bless you, Jesus. Let's read 34 and 35. I just want y'all to just know it's okay to sound ridiculous in this season. It's okay to sound ridiculous in this season. You say, I don't care what my finances look like now. The Lord says, I'm blessed. Highly favored. Come on. That's ridiculous. I know your situation. No. It don't matter what it sounds like. Oh, my marriage will be glorifying to the Lord. It don't matter what it's like. Come on right here. May sound ridiculous, but no. And then I love David, what he does. David has to give him his resume real quick. Oh, I love this. David said, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, next verse, I went after it. When the last time the enemy attacked and ran out the door and you ran after him? There's something about being full of the Spirit of God. knowing you're anointed for a situation, that the enemy can come attack your children and you don't just shoo them away. You go after that devil so that he doesn't come back. Come on in here. You go after that devil of sickness, after that devil of perversion. You go after that thing so he doesn't come back. See, this is what David was saying. He's saying anytime any of mine was messed with, I would go after it and make sure it didn't come back. Come on in here. That we need to know how to go after that same devil that's trying to steal from us. Come on. Bless you, Jesus. Verse 36. He says, your servant killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. That is ridiculous talk. That he's equating this champion of war with some animals. It's kind of crazy, right? That he's equating this thing. But what David realized in this lesser place, that he had a greater anointing. And can I tell you that whatever place you're serving right now, I know that what God is doing is stirring something in you to realize that, man, I have something in me that's greater than where I'm at right now. There's something God is preparing me for that's greater than this moment. And that's what David realized. Even while he was fighting the lion and the bear, he said, it's all the same to me. Amen. Amen. It's all the same to me. What God has done in my life, it's all the same to me. Whatever I have to overcome. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 38, we just walking through. And so Saul heard him, Brent. And so Saul was like, okay, if that's what you want to do, if that's what you want to do, do this. Let me tell you what to do. Pause right there. Can I tell you, when you're in this season, be careful taking instruction from people who are not willing to do what you're doing. Uh-oh. Everybody on Facebook know what to tell you and know what to do, but they ain't doing nothing you're doing. They not believing, walking by faith, but they want to be your counselor. Come on in here, somebody. They're trying to preach to you, and they haven't been tried by that same thing. The thing that you're trying to walk in scares them, but they're trying to tell you what to do. Woo! Uh-oh, don't. My Jesus. Wow. Bless you, Lord. Earful, huh, Willie? So Saul clothed David with his armor. And he put on a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with a coat of mail. And so Saul, we know this part, that Saul tried to put on him his experience. If you're going to do it this way. And David being honoring, he put it on and tried it out. How many of you ever tried it somebody else's way? And then just realize that's not me. Can I tell you that what God is doing in your life in this season is going to be so peculiar, it's not going to look like anything else that you've seen? Amen, somebody in here? What God is doing is going to be very peculiar and unique unto you. And see, this is what David had to pull from, because Saul, who is not about to fight Goliath, is instructing David. And so David says, along this verse, David says he tries it on and he says, it just don't feel right. This isn't me. This isn't me. Ah! David had this knowing of himself because he spent time with the Lord. He spent time in that secret place. And so there was a confidence in him who says, I know how to do this right here. There's something in me that gives me a boldness. I don't have to. And see, this isn't defiance. It's just you got to be careful. But David said, I've spent time with the Lord. The Lord has trained me and taught me how to fight. I don't have to be like you, even though you're beautiful and strong and powerful. I don't have to look like you. I don't have to dress like you. Come on in here. I don't have to sing like you. God has done something in me, and it's unique to me. I may not have what you have, but I have what I need. Come on in here. This is what David was saying. In this season, he's in the season. He's here. And he's preparing for battle. He's about to be promoted. But you see all these little caveats up into the way of promotion that he has to wrestle with. I want to tell you not to be discouraged in the season that you're in, because it feels like sometimes when we get up, it's battle after battle after battle after battle. Oh, I know it is. Yeah. But God is so faithful. that he has equipped you for every single thing that you're going to face. Amen, somebody. My favorite scripture, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. Always. My God. Bless you, Jesus. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. Oh, we glorify you. Woo! Let's go to the next verse. We're going to pray in just 1 second. Okay, let's go to 40. Yeah. That's it right there. It says, then he took his staff in his hand. It's not as flashy as what everybody else has. It doesn't get as many likes on social media. Doesn't get as many shares. It's just a stick. It's simple. But it's what I know. It's what I've been anointed for. He chose himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. I love this act of faith. David was not absolutely sure that that first stone was going to kill Goliath. He chose 5 just to be sure. He knew God was going to do something, but he didn't know what. How many people in here are just like that? I know he's going to do something, but I don't know what. In my body, in my marriage, I know he's going to do something. In my finances, I know he's going to do something. I'm not sure what, but I'm still going forward. He put them in his shepherd's bag in his pouch, and it says, and his sling was in his hand. He drew near to the Philistines. Let's go. Bless you, Lord. Next verse. Of course, we see that David He runs to Goliath, and Goliath is looking at him, and he's downplaying him, and he's insulting him. How many of you know David already been insulted by his brother, so I'm ready for these insults. Amen, somebody. Come on, somebody. He like, that's all you're going to say? Anybody ever said something to you like a joke or a joke that you heard already? You like, that's all you got? I'm telling you. So Tommy, when I was coming up, they used to say, baby, don't laugh. They used to say me and my brother had some big heads. And so, you know, when we would get, like, in high school, they were like, man, your head's so big and stuff like that. I'd be like, I already heard that before, man. You ain't got nothing new for that, you know. And so I had a callous word. So David already knew. David had already been talking about. So what could Goliath say to him? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I just be telling y'all all my business. Next verse. And so the Philistine said to David, I am a dog that you come to me with sticks. And this Philistine cursed David by his gods. Next verse. Philistine said, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. All of these are declarations the enemy is making, empty promises that he's saying to you. The enemy telling you you're going to die before your time. You're never going to come out of the situation that you're in. You're never going to break the addiction. All of these are empty promises that you will never see the fruit of. And we have to know how to do exactly what David did. David, it didn't let him bother him at all because he knew he was on an assignment. 45. I appreciate you, Sharon. You're doing great. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Come on, somebody in here. Notice he didn't say, I come to you with a slingshot. I come to you with a staff. You have to know that this isn't your battle. Come on. That when the enemy's attacking you, yeah, you come in all that and you're doing all that, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. Come on, somebody. That is our confidence. That is our place of assurance that we're not fighting our own battles. And so he says, the God of the army of Israel, whom you have defied. Next verse. It's like building momentum. This is coming. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. Talking reckless. I said this before, that when the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, The enemy was trying to tempt him and trying to get him to do things. Jesus didn't ignore the enemy. And I feel like some of us sometimes can get caught up in not responding. The enemy said, hey, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus spoke the word. See, sometimes we have to open our mouth and declare the word in our house and in that area of attack. See, David opened his mouth. He didn't just let Goliath say anything. No, he said, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. We need to just go in our house and say, devil, this day the Lord is going to deliver you into my hand. Every devil that's trying to attack my children and everything else, this day I'm going to get the victory in the name of Jesus. Let's keep going. Is this blessing anybody? Thank you, Lord. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, not with power, not with might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Next verse. So it was the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, and David ran to him and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Next verse. Then David put in his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it, struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and fell on his face on the earth. Stand to your feet. What ends up happening in this moment is the majority of this story is the enemy attacking verbally. Can I tell you the majority of what you're going through is just verbal attack? The devil hasn't really done anything that the Lord knows right where you are. And it's all been empty promises telling you that you will never be this. You will never come out of that. And so here David is, and he gets the victory. The Bible says that this Philistine who was so prepared falls on his face. Gone. And I love that David didn't stop there. It gets kind of grotesque. But just to make sure you don't come back. Just to make sure you don't come back and get back up. Just to make sure, the Bible says that he goes to Goliath and takes his own sword. Come on, we all know the story. Y'all just cut his head off. Wow. And I love this passage of scripture because it is a finale to all of this verbal assault that were on the people of God. This battle that was won by David, all of Israel enjoyed the peace from it. Can I tell you that the battle and the victory that you're winning in your life, it's not just for you, but your children will enjoy the peace of you cutting Goliath's head off. Come, oh Jesus, I feel it. It's not just for you. That's why you have to keep going. That's why you cannot quit. Because your spouse is enjoying the peace of you removing Goliath's head. Come on, your family member, maybe even people on your job. Your department is always blessed because they're enjoying the peace of your surrender. And so make no mistake about it. Yeah, we are in that season of promotion, of favor, and of advancement. But in this season, it's now time that we have to press in like never, ever before. Because along the way to this battle, it's so many little battles. David had to overcome Saul and his brother and all these little things. And how many of you are on your way to work and you're trying to respond to a text message and call somebody back? And it's just so many little fires. But David pressed on. David was anointed for the assignment. David made up in his mind that this isn't even about me. This isn't even about me. The Bible says the enemy goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let me tell you something. That's great for David, because David said, I grab lions and club them to death. Amen. And so I want to pray with you today, and I just want to pray this specific prayer that just like David, we made up in our mind that we're going to see this all the way to the end. All the way to the end. All the way to the end of the battle, to the point to where we're removing Goliath's head, that we will never see this enemy again anymore. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're anointed. You're called in this season. It's not Goliath, because the battle between Goliath took about 5.3 seconds. It was the whole way getting up there. And it's usually those battles that are taking it out of you. It's the fact that you're going through hundreds of things that you can't get to the main thing. Amen. I'm going to pray peace in the name of Jesus over you right now. Thank you, Lord. And that you will not give up in this season of promotion. You will not give up in this season of advancement, this season of favor, no matter what it looks like. You will not give up and give in. Amen. I give you glory right now, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, can you pray with me real quick? Thank you, God. I just believe right now somebody in their heart is just turning that decision around to give in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. David said, this isn't my battle, so it can't be my decision. As you surrender to God, you realize that, you know what? It's not even my decision to give up or not. I yield to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My God, we bless you. And so, Lord God, I thank you right now for each and every one of us who are battling the little fires. Each and every one of us, Lord God, on the way to Goliath, Lord God, we are fought with many, many battles. I thank you that you're giving us even more boldness, that this battle isn't ours, but it's the Lord's. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're focusing us in on our assignment. And that we are called, my God, we are called to some of the chaos in our lives. Can I just ask this of you real quick? Can everyone just close your eyes for me? And if you have been somebody with all of our eyes closed, if you've been somebody tempted with just giving up, could you just lift your hand? That's you. Yeah, that's it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord God. I thank you for each and every hand raised right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord God, that your promises are yes and amen. That you will bring us to a place of total victory in every area of our lives. That us even having the mind to give up is because of the temptation of the enemy. And he is a liar. He is a liar. He is a liar. And he is defeated in the name of Jesus. We will not give up. We will thrive, God. We will go forward. Come on. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Willie, come here real quick for me. In the name of Jesus, I thank you right now that we have every victory in you. Every boldness in you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, if you believe it, give God a shout of praise.